fire up for pro football.
That's what we call a sack lunch. Nom, 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 nom.
This is Football Sunday with Mike and Rashad.
Wouldn't kill you to play some competitive sports once in a while, would it?
Oh, would that make you love me?
Football Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
Hey.
Are we good?
Hey.
Oh.
Hey. Oh. Hey. This is our first time in the studio for quite some time, it feels like.
Like a week.
Well, right, but we've missed two of the last 3 weeks due to early Seahawks shenanigans. And the one time we were in, it was 8-10, and things were still kind of broken from the studio switch. And I didn't even sit in this chair.
Because this computer didn't work. Yeah, I was over there last week. You know, I didn't really need the computer. I can go ahead and use my phone for all the information.
Right.
And whatnot,
it's just easier for me to have. It's most people here at this station, because we've had enough computer issues. If you remember the virus, the big virus that took out our station for like 2 weeks, that knocked off our computers for so long that a lot of the hosts just brought their own laptops and actually got used to it. I have a problem with my laptop doesn't work unless it's plugged in. So the idea of moving it around is it would mean that I'd have to restart it every single time I plugged it in and unplugged it. That doesn't sound very good to me. So I still like to use our handy dandy computer. So we've had that issue. We had the studio switch happening where we didn't have computers in the weird booth, although you never had to do a show in the weird booth because we had moved in here by the time Sunday rolled through. But in the weird booth that was the temporary room had no computers in it. And then we moved in here and these computers weren't set up yet. And now this computer freezes a lot, but I digress. It feels like it's been months since we've done this show in this format like this.
Yeah.
It's strange.
And with everything all shiny and new, it's almost, you know, a little uncomfortable. It's almost, you know, when you get new furniture or something like that, you treat it with kid gloves. You know, nobody can drink anything on it. You don't want to eat anything.
That's you get down very slowly. Like, don't ruin the springs yet.
That's kind of how I feel about all this, you know, shiny new equipment that's in here. Even got the old 1080 The Fan sign back in there, pried away from Dirt and Sprague's desk.
Yeah, that was behind Dirt and Sprague's desk. Now it's in there. And I usually turn the lights off during prime time because it's very bright and it causes a reflection. But Jesse put it on today, I guess, because it was probably darker when we got in this morning.
Yeah, I think it looks tight. I think it looks, you know, pretty tight. You know, you turn that light off in there and you've got, you know, Joe's right there.
You got some mood lighting.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's the Leon Phelps lighting in there. That's, I'm good with it.
So the Seahawks, only as far as I know, unless they get flexed, have one more 10 a.m. game. So we should be good to go for 9 to 11 shows for the rest of the football season, except for once. And we'll keep you apprised of that. That's coming up in December, I think. But we got a lot to talk about today. And you guys, you and Jesse, were having a very passionate discussion when I walked in about Hugh Jackson.
If it's me and Jesse, the conversation is always going to be passionate. It doesn't matter what it's going to be about.
It was about Hugh Jackson, and I was very curious. And I said, let's save it for the air, because your hot take was not exactly my hot take.
Well, I don't think exactly really anyone's, you know, hot take. It's just...
Yeah, just me. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that. Hugh Jackson's firing, and the Discord there, they also fired Todd Haley, the offensive coordinator, because I guess they were fighting about who was going to call plays. Shocker, Todd Haley has Discord with somebody. That's been his entire career as a coordinator and coach. So we'll talk about that. I do want to talk about the Seahawks. It's actually been a little bit since we talked about Seattle, and they're playing a lot better than most of us thought they would, but I'm still not fully buying it yet. And I think today will go a long way to help me buy it or say they are who we thought they were and pull a Dennis Green on you, because they play the Chargers today. Chargers are good. They're coming off a bye. They're getting Melvin Gordon back from his 1 week injury. And Phillip Rivers is having a career season. And the Seahawks have only beaten bad teams. Every good team they've faced, they've lost. So this will be a great test. So we'll talk about that coming up. We've got our fantasy scramble at 9:30. So if you have fantasy football start sick questions, feel free to text them in now up until 9:30. And then throughout that segment to the Better You Today text line at 55305. We'll get to as many as we can for the last half hour of this first hour. I also want to complain a little bit about fantasy, and that could happen anytime, but maybe during that segment.
I've got something that's grinding my gears as well.
And Jesse is in a league with me that he is having exactly what's happening to me in my main league happened to him. Leading the league in points, 3-5 record.
Mm.
It's brutal.
Mm.
In our intercom league.
Yeah.
You're like 4-9.
Yeah, no, I've won. I think I've lost 3 games, and they combined for all 3 of those losses combined for, I think, less than 1.5 points.
Yeah, I lost by 0.2 points last week.
It's been pretty brutal because I've been like the week Patrick Mahomes threw 6 touchdowns. I lost that week.
Yeah.
How the heck did I lose that week?
Yeah, I had DeAndre Hopkins give me 17 this past week, and I was leading 54-0 by 9 o'clock. You know, by the first 9 o'clock game, I lost by 4 points.
Yeah,
yeah. No, this is why I like leagues that you're in from year to year to year to year, and you go and you look at things and you go, there's something wrong there. Like we had this, I want to say 4 years ago in our league, where the second highest scoring team in our league didn't make the playoffs. We have 6 teams make the playoffs in our league, and he didn't make the playoffs. Second highest scoring team. I looked at that and I went, something's wrong. And you go and you look at who's the 6th team in this league. Oh, they didn't score very many points. They had a really easy schedule. And that's where we went wild card. Let's make the wild card a true wild card. And it's not going to be based on schedule. It's going to be based on how many points you score. So it, at the same time, not only does that keeps everybody in it all season long, active all season long. It gives everybody an opportunity to squeeze their way in. And if you've scored the most points, let's face it, you should be in there. You're a playoff team.
I've scored the most points by a ton, and I'm currently 3-5.
Right?
It's
makes no sense.
Well, I know, but it does make a little bit of sense just because sometimes it's bad luck. Like I lost
horrible luck
on the Odell Beckham Jr. touchdown in the last second of the Giants Monday Night Football game when Eli Manning missed two sneaks in a row. I lost because of that. I lost when Devontae Adams caught that touchdown in the fourth quarter on Monday Night Football the week before by like 4 points. And I lost by 0.2 this week because Tre'Quan Smith only got 3 catches and the Vikings defense wound up with 2 points. Well,
currently, I'm 4-4, which isn't great, but it is enough for second place right now. This has just been a crap year for a lot of people. So hopefully we've been able to give you guys some pretty good advice, though, for your leagues. But I think for most of our teams right now, we're all kind of in struggle mode right now.
I don't know. Our league here for the radio station, or well, of the show.
Yeah,
I'm doing fine. I'm what, 6-2 in my league that I run. I'm 5-3. I'm on a 5-game win streak. So
I'm 7-1 in the intercom league. I think I'm 5-3 in our league. I think, and then 3-5 in my main league.
Yeah,
yeah.
But, I mean, it's a tough time for fantasy football now because the bye weeks are kind of at their peak right now. My entire bench this week is on bye. So, like, if Melvin Gordon for some reason can't go, I'm screwed because I have nobody to put in there because I'm not dropping all the players that I have on bye because they're my starters.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's going to play. But so, yeah, that's fantasy football for you. We'll get to a lot more of it at 9:30. Just I guess we ranted about it there. But I do want to start, like always, with college football coming up next. And we got a lot to talk about. The Ducks got the win against UCLA, but still had a ton of offensive question marks for me. If it wasn't for good special teams play, that game would have been a lot different. USC and Oregon State was a good game that Oregon State really had a chance to win. And I'm surprised that I am saying that. And I'm not surprised that I'm saying this. The Pac-12 refs screwed it up. Oregon State would have tied the game if they didn't get the call wrong and right at the same time. So we'll get to that. And then Alabama LSU was quite a laugher. It was really, 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 really bad.
Oh, the memes were awesome. They had already started kind of circulating. So,
and I really like that the Bama fans were chanting, "We want Bama," at the end of that game because nobody wants Alabama. So that's all coming up. Again, the Better You Today text line is at 55305. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Mike Lynch 27. Rashad's at TaylorMade503. Jesse's at Jesse Osman, Azman. And Facebook.com/1080Fan. So that's all coming up on the show today. Hugh Jackson, Seahawks, fantasy, college football, hate it or love it at 10:30. That's all coming up. And we will start next with the Ducks, the Beavs, and Bama. This is Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
Football Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
9:15 here on your Sunday morning.
Get out and vote.
Get out and vote. We were just talking about that. Mike and Rashad here for the first time. It's in a long time, it feels like.
Good to see you, bud. And I'll only get to talk to you briefly on Friday nights.
I know, because
it's literally like, hey, what's up? You're going to be next. You're going to be after Joe. And I was like, oh, okay.
I know, because
that's the end of the conversation.
I have to call like four people at the same time. So it's like, you're on, okay, you're on hold. Oh, you're on, okay, you're on hold. And I can't ever have a conversation unless it's post-game, then sometimes I can.
Yeah.
But you text me during the game sometimes too. But yeah, so good to see you as well.
Man, absolutely. Jesse cut his hair. Can we talk about that for a second?
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a real kind of...
How do I describe it? Because he had...
He's got a real James Franco from Pineapple Express, which is what Jesse's costume was for Halloween, he told me.
Oh, so that's why it's like that. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, it made sense. It all came together.
Jesse, for a long time, has had very long hair, but tends to leave it ponytailed. So I can't see the full flowing locks. But now, that's a good – I mean, yeah, you said it perfectly. He looks like James
Franco. I guarantee Jesse, for you guys that, you know, haven't really seen a lot of us in metal off, man, Jesse, you wouldn't know this was him. If he walked in and everything, like, you wouldn't know. Jesse's a big dude, too. Like, I mean, you're
6'2"? 6'2".
You know, maybe a good 185, 190, somewhere around there.
Sizing me up, I see.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, man, we've been working together for quite a while now. So he's not a small guy. You know what I mean?
All three of us are quite large, actually.
Yes, we are. You know what I'm saying? That's what she said. And then Jesse has a long ponytail, or in most cases. So you wouldn't know that voice comes from, you know, that body and everything.
The same said for me, too. People are always like, wait, that's Mike? That's what you look like? And it's like, what else did you expect?
I'll be honest. I thought you were freakishly large the first time that you and I met at Hunt for the Host.
I have been known to be freakishly large. Like, Suke has called me uncomfortably large.
I was not expecting you to be that big when you and I first met.
Yeah. I'm a big dude. That's true. People are always like, wow, you're really big.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. I'm very broad shouldered.
I get that a lot too. Which
long
is,
legs.
It's kind of a sideways diss. Like,
I know it is. Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, screw you. I'm big. Thank you.
It doesn't make me feel. It doesn't make me feel that good. Although I know the intentions aren't bad.
Big people have feelings too, guys. Come on, man.
I know the intent. It's not like, oh my God, you're fat. It's like, wow, you're just like,
you're large.
You're everywhere. Your shoulders are out there. Your legs are thick. Your hips are out there. It's like, yeah. I'm
a big dude. Even weirder when fellas say that stuff to you. It's like, thanks. Like, okay, awesome.
Take it in stride.
Appreciate it.
Just take it in stride. You're fine. All right, let's get into the college football slate from yesterday. Where do you want to start? We got Ducks, Beavs, and Alabama. That's what we got time for.
We can start with the Beavs. Why not? Or no, Beavs are good.
Okay,
Beavs are good.
You're committed.
Yes.
Oregon State almost, although the score wouldn't indicate that at the end, almost came back to make it a game against USC. They had gotten it down to 28-21 USC lead. And they forced a fumble, returned the fumble for a touchdown, and it would have tied the game. But the refs, Pac-12 refs, called it down before the fumble. They reviewed it, realized they were wrong, but because of that, they didn't give them the touchdown. They just gave them the ball at that spot, and Oregon State could not score on that drive. So instead of it being 28-28 with all the momentum shifted to Oregon State, falling back to USC, they scored on a 62-yard touchdown run on the very next drive, or I think it was the next drive.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, the game was frankly over. But I think a lot of people were curious how Oregon State, by the way, the final score was 38-21 USC. I think a lot of people were curious how Oregon State was going to bounce back from their win against Colorado, because Beav fans were very excited. They went, wow, here's the first look of Jonathan Smith being a good head coach, and this is a positive step forward. And they were curious if they could continue the momentum into a game against USC, who, although obviously way more talented than Oregon State, has been having a very bad year for USC. They're now 5-4 after that win. And Clay Helton likely going to get fired at the end of the year, or at least if I were Lynn Swann, I would fire Clay Helton at the end of the year. And personally, I thought the Beavs were probably going to get blown up in this game. It's like it would be a wake-up call, like, oh, it was a cute win against Colorado, but you're not there yet. I was really impressed that they were able to stay in that game. Of course, Jamar Jefferson ran the ball, like, didn't get a ton of yards, but he was running it a lot early in the game and actually getting some good gains on some of their scoring drives. And they were able to stick with USC, and that really surprised me.
No, I at a point you thought they were going to win the game, especially like as you got into the second quarter. We can't forget about the missed field goal. You know, that would have been something that would have given them obviously 3 points, would have made it 17-21. So a much smaller deficit at that point. So, you know, you can't forget about those small parts of the game that can, you know, really mean victory for you in a lot of ways. But you liked what you were able to see as far as the talent from Oregon State kind of matching up with some of the talent from USC. Like, this was a game at the beginning of the year we were all saying USC was probably going to, you know, mop the floor with the Beavers. That was the narrative, I think, for most of the pundits. And so for them to come in there and play really, really well through three quarters, I thought it was really impressive. And, you know, man, hats off to Jonathan Smith for at least coaching his team up. You know, there was a point that we would have seen this Beavers team collapse and just say, you know, and this is over the past, you know, 3 years or so, that this Beavs team would have just given up. Well, one thing we talked about a lot on the show last year and really the year prior was heart. And that was something that we just felt like we weren't seeing a lot from these players at a point. And that's not something that we really question about this Oregon State team anymore.
Well, and the thing, too, is it wasn't just the USC game that we looked at and said this is going to be a loss. It was the rest of the schedule. So they beat Colorado, right? They win. And then you see on the schedule, USC at Stanford, at Washington, Oregon. You're like, well, that was your last win of the year. Still probably is going to be the case, especially against those last three opponents. Although in the Civil War, you never know. Things could get a little bit crazy. And it is in Corvallis this year. But I was pleasantly surprised and very strongly rooting for them when it got close in that game. And it's just good to see strides being made, even if it's not for that win this early, because Oregon State was in such a bad place. Their recruiting numbers were terrible. The players they were bringing in were not very good. They had lost some of their good players through transfer. And then you bring Jonathan Smith in, and he has to do a kind of late cycle recruiting class, and he does okay. And he's doing pretty well this year, at least in the state of Oregon. But he's got to build it up, and you got to, as much as you want him to succeed, there's still that question of like, well, it's tough to win here. Can he do it? And this, to me, is showing that he is offensively minded enough. He's an offensive genius enough, if you will, mm-hmm. that he can get this Beavs team to heights that they need to get to, a.k.a. back to being competitive for a bowl game, and then hopefully a little bit better than that.
You know, you have a team here that last year, this time, when I think they had, what, 3 wins on the season, nobody was optimistic about what was going to happen there. No one liked the outlook of Beavers football. Now, all of a sudden, here they are with 2 wins. There's a good chance they don't win any more games for the rest of the season, and yet and still we're looking at this Beavers team going, okay, well maybe next year. You know, you're looking at it through that lens now. They had a few in-state recruits in Corvallis this weekend for that game to see that really competitive game. That had to have been good for recruiting. Now, obviously, a win would have been much better for you as far as the recruiting part goes, but to see you stick in that game with, you know, that team for the duration of it, I think is only going to help you as far as recruiting goes. So I really like what they're doing at Oregon State right now. Are they winning a lot of games? No, but they're not quitting games either. And I know there's probably not to be said much for college football, but that's really important for guys just to know that they're not going to lay their hats down and say, all right, y'all got this.
Oregon, on the other hand, beats UCLA 42-21 at Autzen. And it was not that sexy of a game if you're an Oregon fan. Now, the win is a win, right? You got bowl eligible officially, so that's good. It's positive. But if it wasn't for special teams early in this game, I'm again criticizing Marcus Arroyo's play calling. I thought we had kind of gotten past that, right? We were worried about the fact that he wasn't the best play caller. And then the Stanford game happened, and you're like, wow, okay, maybe he's a good play caller because they had been playing well offensively up until that point. That first half especially was very good. And then it's been all downhill from there for his offensive play calling. And it wasn't looking good again in the first half against UCLA. I remember it was first and goal, and it was up the middle run, fade. Then they brought Burmeister in, and Burmeister was in there just to run as the quarterback, which was as obvious as to anybody. So, of course, UCLA knew it was happening. And it just drives like that, and you're like, what are you doing? What are you calling? Justin Herbert didn't play super well yesterday. The running game was a little better because they focused on it really hard, but average rushing yards per rush for a guy like Verdello who had 25 carries was 3.6. So there's still something going on offense. I don't want to put it all in play calling, but I am really starting to get concerned about Arroyo as an offensive coordinator. He's a great recruiter, but can he call plays consistently enough to help them get a level beyond?
Well, we're seeing how important offensive coordinators are. You know, you mentioned, we'll talk about this later, Todd Haley, you know, and maybe the job that he'd been doing in Cleveland. I think offensive coordinators are equally as important as the head coaches are, just because the head coaches are there to motivate the team, make sure everybody is running a certain system. And as a coordinator, it's your job to make sure that you know the right packages to send your team. And at times, it's just kind of confusing. It's like, why would you run it there instead of passing? Or why would you pass it there instead of run? Or why would you run it that way when you know they don't have the athletes on the outside to stop them? It's like there are certain times where you're not all the way sure what you're getting from this Ducks team. And there's no real identity for them right now. And I think that's kind of why they struggle. I said this on Twitter last week when they – last week when I think they lost the game to who'd they play? Or the Ducks last week, I can't remember.
Arizona, yeah.
And I was kind of saying, man, who are these Ducks? You know, what are they? I don't think we know anymore. Like, it's like a week-to-week type team. And you've got to put a lot of that on Arroyo, but you got to put a lot of that on Cristobal, because he's kind of allowing that by not really establishing an identity yet.
So moving forward, they've got the bowl eligibility now, which is good. And looking at their schedule moving forward, they got Utah, who just lost to Arizona State, so their ranking's going to drop from 15 to – I mean, maybe out of the rankings, but maybe lower. ASU and then Oregon State. So that looks like it could be two or three more wins. But then again, you got shillelied by Arizona and didn't look like you belonged in that game. And that was super weird. And we were not on the air to talk about that, so we didn't get a chance to really break it down. But that was just some of the most stagnant offense we've seen from an Oregon team in a long time. So, yeah, you're right. It's just weird. It's been weird offensively for them since the beginning of the year. Not sure what changed. Obviously, the offensive line injuries are not helping. Penei Sewell going down was huge. He was absolutely amazing as a freshman. So that's part of it. And there's been some other little injuries across the offensive line. But I want someone to call better plays. Maybe you're expecting it to be as exciting and innovative as it used to be. And that's not going to be the case when Chip is gone and hell, even Helfrich is gone. It's not going to be the case anymore because it's different coaches, but you would hope that it would at least have something resembling excitement and innovation.
Yeah, and you know, you can see that this isn't a team that's as fast as the previous Ducks team. They're not as explosive, you know, they're not as exciting. I'll just be honest. You know, there was a time to a 42-point game, or 42 points was halftime for the Ducks. You know, I know, and I think – you know, we might be a little spoiled in thinking about the Ducks' pass and everything, but yeah, the 42 points was just the halftime score. You know, the game was going to end with about 72 points, and you're not really seeing that from this team. So yeah, I can imagine how people would, you know, are looking at it going, man, what's the problem? But as long as you're winning games, I could care less. I can give a damn if the score is 13-3. If the Ducks were to go, you know, 11-1 or whatever the case is, or the Beavers as well. The score is 9-4 with two safeties every game. I would be okay with that. So as long as you win games. And right now, they won a game. They haven't won them consistently, though.
And then quickly, because we got to get into the fantasy scramble, Alabama, LSU, 1-3. Everyone's mouths were watering over this game, forgetting that sometimes they play 9-0 games and it's considered good. This time, it was not good. Alabama 29, LSU 0. And Tua had a bit of a Heisman moment, maybe, with his touchdown rush. That was, what, like a 52-yard rush, a 44-yard rush, sorry. And LSU could not move the ball on offense. 196 total yards to the 576 total yards of Alabama. Can we end the season now? No one's going to beat Bama, dude. No one is.
It's not even really fair. Like, I mean, they're like the Golden State of college football, you know. But although we've seen Alabama get to the championship game and stub their toe, you know, it's seldom that the Warriors are going to lose. They're not going to play LeBron, you know, in the finals again this year. So I don't know if there's any stopping them. They just contend. Man, Damian Harris 107 yards. Najee Harris 83 yards. You know, Tua put up 50 yards on the ground on top of almost 300 yards passing. Like, what do you do about this team? Like, how do you stop them? Great defensive line, man. Great corners and safeties. Like, they are the most complete football team in college.
The only thing they don't have is a place kicker because he missed two extra points yesterday.
Who needs a place kicker when you go for two every time? Really, if Alabama wanted to, they could go for two every single time and convert every single time.
And they have a very special quarterback.
So,
in Tua. So, just quickly, just wanted to throw that out there because I was really interested in that game and excited about that game, and it was
You know, Michigan right now is, man, Harbaugh somewhere having a few drinks. He and Shannon Sharp, man, on them blacks, on the milds and some yak right now, just because he is super happy that now Michigan will move into the top four.
All right, coming up next, it is time for Fantasy Scramble. If you have start sit questions this week, lots of buys this week, feel free to text them in now to the Better You Today text line at 55305. You can also send them to us on Twitter. At Mike Lynch 27, at TaylorMade503, at Jesse Osman, ASZMAN. We will get to as many as we can next, but first, Jesse at Sports Center.
This is what you get when you wait until the last minute.
It's your pick. Fine, whatever. Blah, 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 blah. This guy.
A kicker.
I like kickers.
Listen up, you fantasy coaches. Mike and Rashad are here to save your butt with some last-minute injury news and roster advice.
And the only reason my team finished as terrible as it is because everybody on the team was hurt. Literally every single player on my team was hurt.
This is Fantasy Scramble, part of Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Fantasy Scramble. Thanks for not singing along with me, guys. Cool.
Maybe I just turned mine on. I didn't know we were singing.
What, were you listening?
Well, no. Sorry. I often do that.
Well, nope. Yeah. It's like, do I lie here?
Yeah, my
lady. Of course I was listening. Yeah. I just wasn't into the singing.
Yeah.
All right, so Fantasy Scramble time. We do this every single week, 9:30. If you have fantasy start sit questions, feel free to text them into the Better You Today text under 55305. You can also tweet them to us at Mike Lynch 27, at TaylorMade503, at Jesse Osman, ASZMAN, and at 1080 The Fan. We'll get to as many as we can up until kicks happen at 10 o'clock. I'll start with the one that I got on Twitter here. Gronk or McDonald at tight end, standard league. Thanks. I, for one, would go with Vance McDonald because I don't think Gronk is going to play tonight. And the problem is, on a Sunday night game, when you're not sure if someone's going to play, you risk, if you don't use the other guy, having 0 point day completely. Reading about it, it does not sound like Gronk is going to play. The Patriots are worried about his availability. They've said as much, and then he's going to go through a pregame workout and decide there. The same goes for Sony Michel, too, by the way, who, if it helps, I am benching in one of my leagues because I'm not risking a Sunday night guy missing out because he is a game time decision. So I would say McDonald because I don't trust Gronk's going to play.
I would pay close attention to the injury report right now. You've got another 22 minutes. Because if he is a go, then I'm going Gronkowski. If not, then yeah, go ahead and go.
You're not going to know until
until later. So if you're, the one thing you do know, if Gronk is playing, he's going to be a factor. That's the one thing you do know. He said as much in the past few weeks, like, I missed the end zone and I think the end zone misses me. So I would expect him to play. Gronk is one of those players that, for whatever reason, in a lot of games plays really well, even if he is, you know, kind of banged up. So if he's available, I say you go Gronk. But being safe, I would go the other way. I
get it. It's Gronk or who?
Vance McDonald.
I'm just going to roll McDonald out there. The first thing I read this morning was it sounded less likely that Gronk was going to roll out there than likely. So, I mean, is it still possible? Yes. But at the same time, if he doesn't roll out, well, what are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do? You don't really have any other options. There's nothing really on Monday night that's appetizing to throw in that tight end spot. Vance McDonald has proven he can be a guy. And if this is PPR format, honestly, Vance McDonald might be a better play this week anyway.
Ben Roethlisberger against Baltimore or Drew Brees against the Rams? Ooh. Here's a tough, this is tough for me, and it shouldn't be tough, but here's why it's tough. Roethlisberger against the Ravens is not a great matchup. Ravens defense is one of the best in the NFL this year. But Drew Brees is passing the ball less than he ever has this year. They're running the ball so much in New Orleans now that Ingram is back with him and Kamara that last week he had 120 passing yards. A couple weeks before that, he had 217 passing yards. That's not to say he also hasn't had his big games, but he's been startlingly less consistent. They're playing a Rams team who's undefeated. It's going to be a good game. I might lean Roethlisberger in this one just because I know how much the Rams are going to run the, or the Saints are going to run the ball.
Roethlisberger doesn't play well against Baltimore. Baltimore usually, you know, puts hands on Roethlisberger for whatever reason. Through most of his career, that's kind of been the issue. Again, like you said, Drew Brees isn't throwing the ball a lot, but when they do decide to drop back and throw, because I don't know if they're going to be able to run the ball as easily on this Rams front four. So I think I would go Drew Brees.
I just think that this is going to be the game of the week. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored. This could be really similar to that Tampa Bay-New Orleans game that we saw where it was just back and forth.
Saints only loss of the
year. Tit for tat. And, I mean, honestly, this could be the first loss for the Rams this season. I believe they were on the road in New Orleans in that dome. I'm going to go Drew Brees. It's something about Ben Roethlisberger against a good Baltimore team in division. They know how to play him. These are typically lower, uglier scoring games between Pittsburgh and Baltimore. I think I'm going to roll Drew Brees out there. It's a good problem to have.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's back. Fitzmagic is back, baby. Or Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers off a bye week going up against the Seattle Seahawks defense is projected to get 17 points according to ESPN. But if you look, he has gotten 20 plus points almost every week this year at the quarterback position. Ryan Fitzpatrick, who had godly weeks for three straight weeks and then sucked, losing his job, and now came back in last week in the second half and played great, goes up against Carolina's defense. I don't know about Fitzpatrick. I trusted him, and then he sucked again because, of course, he did because he's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
So well, that's your problem. You trusted him.
Right, exactly. He played great in the second half last week. But do I trust him to play better than Philip Rivers? No. I'm going to take Philip Rivers in this. Rivers has been so consistent this year, and they're coming off a bye. Yeah, give me Philip Rivers.
Oh, man. I don't know. I like Fitzpatrick's matchup at Carolina. As bad as Seattle has been, you know, and they've been back and forth, you know, Safeco. CenturyLink is where quarterbacks go to die a lot of the time. You know, it's so loud in there. Like, that's the one thing that hasn't changed about that place. I think I will probably go – I think I'm going to go Fitzy.
This is a kind of – what's my pre-qualifier, right, like that I do sometimes? What are you expecting? Do you need a Hail Mary type play? Do you need a guy that can just – that has probably – more explosive upside, or do you need somebody who's a little bit more level-headed and like Mike said, that's a little bit more trustworthy? And so if you need somebody, you think you're in a solid shape, you just want a quarterback that doesn't have the possibility to sink you, all right, that's when you're going to go Philip Rivers. But if you think, I need a guy who's going to go for 450 yards and five touchdowns, that's more likely to be Ryan Fitzpatrick. So if you need somebody to blow up because the rest of your roster's on by NATO, I'm going Ryan Fitzpatrick.
All right, two more, then we're going to break and get to the rest. Another quarterback question, Matt Ryan or Russell Wilson? So Russell Wilson going against the Chargers, we talked about that. He's actually been great this year fantasy-wise, minus one game. He's been really, really good. Matt Ryan also, despite the Falcons struggling this year record-wise, has been great fantasy-wise as well. Matt Ryan is at Washington, Russell Wilson home against the Chargers. I'm going to take Wilson in this one, although I think the Chargers are going to win the game. I think their defense is not that great, and Russell Wilson will be able to get some good points for you fantasy-wise. Matt Ryan's going up against a sneaky good Washington defense that has played very well this year, and actually the Redskins have played surprisingly well this year. So just because of the matchup, I'm going to take Wilson. I think they're both incredibly close, in my opinion, but I'm going to go Russell Wilson.
I think I'm going to go Russell Wilson as well.
This is, to me, is a volume play. Russell Wilson, now granted, there's two ways you can look at this. That Russell Wilson has notoriously been slow out the gate, and he's been hot to end the season, and he's kind of entering that hot streak territory for Russell Wilson, and he has played quite well. The problem with him is opportunity. And right now, this is a run-first team in Seattle. And on the other side, maybe a little bit more balanced, a little bit more balanced towards the passing attack in Atlanta. I do think you have a underrated defense in Washington, but I think I would rather tap into Matt Ryan over Russell Wilson this week just based on opportunity.
Full point PPR at flex. Sammy Watkins, Jordan Howard, Cortland Sutton, or Deion Lewis. That's a tough one. Honestly, all across the board, that's a tough one. That's a pretty tough choice you've got there. Deion Lewis has not been used in a way that makes a lot of sense with the Titans. And if you're thinking of him as a pass catcher, he one game caught 9 balls, then caught 2 and 3 and then 6 and then 1 and then 3 and then 5. Not in that order, but just that's he's been used very inconsistently in the passing game. And frankly, I don't trust the Titans offense right now. So I'm going to pass on Deion Lewis, although I kind of feel like he's got the most solid floor of all those guys that you mentioned. I don't like Jordan Howard in the PPR game just because Jordan Howard doesn't catch passes, but he is the touchdown guy, the red zone guy. And then that leaves you with Sammy Watkins and Cortland Sutton. Watkins has had one good game all year. It was last week. And Sutton is now going to step into the Demaryius Thomas role. Call me crazy. I'm going to go Cortland Sutton. But I don't like your choices there, but I'm going to go Cortland Sutton.
I'm going to go Jordan Howard because I have to put him in my lineup as well this week. So we can suffer together.
I have Jordan Howard playing in one of my lineups, on my bench in another lineup, just kind of how my roster's set up. But I did pick up Cortland Sutton in a league where I need wide receiver help this week. And I thought he was an easy pickup and plug and play wide receiver. This is a guy who, has had limited opportunity and still has found ways to score some points the last 3 weeks or so. He has a couple touchdowns this season. I think he's going to get at least 9 targets today. Going to be, I think, a great upside. I'm along the lines of what they're saying in Denver. I think he's going to go somewhere around the century mark and get another touchdown this week.
All right, let's get to the rest, or as many as we can, coming up next. If you want to keep texting them in, feel free, but we're a little bit backlogged, so we're going to try to go a little quicker next segment. This is the Fantasy Scramble on Football Sunday on The Fan.
Football Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
All right, let's get to the rest of these Fantasy Scramble questions as quickly as we can. Tarik Cohen or Nick Chubb in PPR? Once you said the magic words PPR, my ears went up for Tarik Cohen. He has been a monster catching passes because as much as Trubisky has played well this year, he looks for like 2 guys, Cohen and the tight end. That's literally it. Allen Robinson, although he's been hurt, has not been that great catching passes. None of their receivers have because he doesn't throw the ball downfield that accurately at this point. Cohen is such a good safety valve. He his last 4 games, 7 catches, 121 yards, 7 catches, 90 yards, 8 catches, 69 yards, and 1 for 70 and a touchdown. So alone catching the ball, he's doing well, and he's getting about 6 to 7 carries a game. I like Cohen in this one, especially in PPR.
Cohen's been killing this year. I would go with Cohen.
This one truly is a tough one for me. It's just such a juicy, 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 juicy matchup for Nick Chubb. Like, I would have such a hard time taking him out of my lineup. Atlanta's just so bad against the running game. With that said, PPR format, you have guys that don't create yards that are great in PPR just because they catch a lot of balls. Tarik Cohen catches balls, and he makes yardage off of that. I will probably lean toward Tarik Cohen, but that would be a really hard move for me to make.
Juju Smith-Schuster or John Brown? This one's easy. Go Juju on this one. I know Brown's had a great year, but been more inconsistent than Juju has been.
I like Juju.
Easy for me, Juju.
Yeah.
Taylor Gabriel in the flex or Isaiah Crowell in the flex? So Taylor Gabriel's on the Bears. He has caught about four or five balls a game from Mitchell Trubisky so far. Isaiah Crowell, who is on the Jets this year, has been really good at times and really bad at times. You didn't say PPR or not.
But they get Miami.
True. You did not say PPR or not. If it's PPR, I'd lean Gabriel. If it's standard, I'd lean Crowell.
Well, let's roll out Gabriel.
I'm going to go Crowell as well, and I honestly think it's pretty easy over Gabriel. I think you have right now Crowell is basically the engine to that offense, and it sounds like that's a messy field down there. That's going to be kind of problematic, obviously, for the running game. But I still – it's once again, this is an opportunity thing. You have a great matchup, and you have a lot of opportunity in touches. So I'm going to go Crowell.
This is a full-point PPR Calvin Ridley or Marvin Jones. I'm going to go Marvin Jones. Tate is gone. That opens up some inside targets for both Galladay and Jones. I think Jones will see the benefit of it. He also had two touchdown catches last week. I'm going to go Jones.
Jones.
This to me is they both have a similar matchup. They're both kind of difficult, but the one thing that Jones has over Ridley is he is the number one targeted receiver in the end zone this season. I'm going to roll with Marvin Jones this week. He's got to get at least a couple more looks too with Tate gone.
Half point PPR, OJ Howard or David Njoku at tight end. So Njoku, who has been basically leading the team in targets, got zero catches last week, which was pretty surprising. OJ Howard actually played great under both Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston. I'm going to go with OJ Howard here just because I think he's going to get like five or six catches under Fitzpatrick. He might even catch a touchdown. He's got a lot of touchdowns this year. I'm going to go Howard.
Yeah, shoot. You know the ball's going in Njoku, so I think I'm going to go in Njoku.
It's going to be, I think, a little bit of a different offense this week. It sounds like they're going to go more air raid. They're going to tailor it more around what Baker Mayfield did well in college. They're going to spread it out a little bit more, which I assume means Njoku's going to be doing a little bit more time working in the slot as opposed to blocking. With that said, after coming off of a zero target week, I think they're going to try to get him involved, but I do know OJ will be involved in some way, shape, or form, and I don't think it's a horrible matchup. I think that's a good way to attack this secondary, so I'll roll out OJ Howard and see what happens with Njoku.
Devin Funchess, DJ Moore, or Cortland Sutton, standard league pick two. I'm going Funchess and Sutton. Yes,
you're going Funchess?
I picked Funchess, yes.
Oh, my gosh, man.
I don't like it, but I did it.
Wait, where are these? I can't even see these dudes.
Funchess, DJ Moore, Cortland Sutton.
Oh, okay, there it is. Funchess and Sutton.
I make it a clean sweep. DJ hasn't done enough to me to warrant all the hype that he's getting right now.
Drew Brees or Jared Goff? We talked about Brees already at length. Goff is the opposite quarterback in that game going up against the New Orleans secondary. I'm going to go Goff in this one, but to Jesse's point, he thinks it's going to be high scoring. I just think the Rams are going to win, so I'm going to go Goff.
I don't know, and I can't see what the Rams' schedule has been. I know it's been incredibly tough, but I don't know if they played a defense as good as –
Well, the Saints defense hasn't been that good.
But we know it can be. And I think that's the thing. Like, we've seen the Saints defense be relatively shut down. So
Rams played Oakland, Cardinals, Chargers, no. Vikings, Seahawks, Broncos, Niners, Packers.
No.
I mean, there's good defenses.
There's good defenses there. The Broncos. Drew Brees at home.
I think these are really similar. They both have the ability to blow up. They both have the ability to have kind of a lame day because of the running backs that they have in the backfield. With that said, I'm still going to roll out Goff over Brees.
Pick three, half point PPR. Cooper Kupp, Brandon Cooks, Emmanuel Sanders, Juju Smith-Schuster. Ooh, that's tough.
A good problem to have.
Can you put all of them in your lineup, please? Yeah. I like all of them. I really do. Kupp is back and healthy, which is very exciting for me because I love him and he's on my team. Cooks, good play. Emmanuel Sanders, now the number one in Denver, although I guess you could say Sutton will play more of the number one role. Sanders still inside. And then Juju I like as well. God, if I had to pick three, I guess if I had to bench one, that's a better way to look at it. I might bench Cooper Kupp just because if he's not fully healthy yet, then he might be a little bit limited in his snaps. So if I had to bench one of those four, that's who I would pick, but it's very close.
I'm with you. Cooper Kupp, as far as talent, is probably, super talented receiver, but with the likes of Emmanuel Sanders, Cooks, and Juju, I'm saying.
Don't you talk bad about.
I'm not talking bad about Cooper. I'm saying he's great, but if it's between those four, he's fourth. And so that's why I have to say those three.
This might come crazy, but sound a little crazy, but I adamantly disagree. I want Kupp in my lineup. Honestly, I want Cooks in my lineup, mostly because, like I said, I think there's going to be a lot of points scored this week. The secondary has not been good for New Orleans. I want Emmanuel Sanders in my lineup. He is now the number one. There is no question about that in Denver now. There is no DT to question that. He's going to get minimum 11 targets this week. Juju, tough matchup against Baltimore. I've already said I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. It's going to be a little bit ugly. Baltimore and Pittsburgh know each other. I'm going to throw in the two Rams receivers and the Denver Bronco receiver.
Two more, so let's go quick. We only got 2 minutes. Calvin Ridley, DeSean Jackson in the wide receiver two spot. I like D-Jax now, man. He is so it's boom or bust, and he always has been. But he has been a lot of boom this year, and with Ryan Fitzpatrick, he has been very good this year. Ridley has kind of slowly tapered a slight bit the last few weeks, and I just like D-Jax in this game this week, so I'm going to go D-Jax.
Man, I think I'd have to go to Sean Jackson, too. Whenever Fitzpatrick is playing with him, they have a certain rapport that I don't think a lot of quarterbacks and receivers have right now outside of maybe Mahomes and Kareem Hunt. Or not Kareem Hunt, but Tariq Hill.
Sweep the leg. Sweep the leg.
And then at flex, PPR league, Cortland Sutton, DJ Moore, Chris Carson. They're saying Carson is game time decision, but he played last week and was amazing last week. Remember, the Chargers defense is not the best. I'm going to go Chris Carson on this one. He has been very good for Seattle.
I like Chris Carson as well.
Man, this one's hard just because I am so, I believe it should be Chris Carson. I am very scared of that hip injury. This is one of those things he's been kind of dealing with, and he was kind of a question mark going into last week. He is a true game time decision today. With that said, he's an afternoon game. Sutton's an early game. That's who I would think about rolling out there. If you're willing to roll the dice, I think Chris Carson's the better play. If you want to be safe, I go Sutton.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate all the questions. Hopefully we help you in your fantasy week, or at least have a solid week this week, and you get some luck on your side. Lord knows I need that luck.
Speaking of luck, let's go, Andrew.
All right. Coming up next, Seahawks or Hugh Jackson?
West Coast bias, Seahawks?
Yes.
Okay. Right.
Hugh Jackson got fired. Rashad's passionate about it.
No, he's not. Just saying.
I mean, he sounds passionate about it.
He sounds passionate.
Don't take. I'm doing a sales job. Okay, here. Well, this is called a tease.
He's right. Passionate.
Passionate and excited.
There it is.
About the Hugh Jackson firing. That's next. West Coast bias at 10:15 is Seahawks. 10:30 is Hate It or Love It. We love you all.
Good night.
10:80 the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.